some changes coming to the Office of Inspector General at the Central Intelligence Agency. John Helgerson is leaving the CIA, and my guest to talk about what may be next at the Office of IG and what the role of the IG is and may become is a former Inspector General at the CIA, Fred Hitz. He's also author of the book Why Spy? Espionage in the Age of Uncertainty. And welcome back to In Depth, Mr. Hitz. Pleasure to have you back.
Thank you, Francis. My pleasure.
Mr. Helgerson is a former colleague of yours. He's been in government service for 37 years, I believe you said, before we went on the air.
Yes. And his primary period of time was in the Directorate of Intelligence. He was an analyst and quite well-known was, and he wrote a book about it, was his job in several instances in providing transition briefings on intelligence to newly elected presidents of the United States before they'd actually taken the oath of office, but obviously began needed to be read in on what they were going to be dealing with when they became president.
What kind of person do you think will be the kind of person that will be able to take his obviously take his place? Somebody with 37 years, their place can't necessarily be taken readily. But what are the qualifications for somebody to be successful in that job?
Well, I'm not sure everybody would agree with me, but I have the very strong view that the IG has to be independent. That's what the Congress said when they created the IG at CIA in 1990, rather, and they had actually done that, made it a presidential appointment, made it part of the Inspector General Act, because they had felt that the IG, prior to that time, the Inspector General had not been as independent and capable of following the investigative trail where it led, because prior to that change, the IG had always been a member of the Director of Central Intelligence top management team.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was strengthened with the creation of a statutory inspector general. And I think the main thing the Congress wanted, and I think really has to have, is somebody who will stand on their own feet, call them the way they see it, report on what is deficient and what is going well, and really not be cowed by either the bureaucracy or even the chain of command. They're supposed to be capable of carrying that water, irrespective of what their current management then thinks.
It would seem to me that independence would be especially critical for the IG office at CIA because of the nature of the investigations that need to be conducted. I would think that a lot of agency IGs are dealing with information that's not necessarily nearly as sensitive, not just the people that are involved, but the nature of the things that you have to investigate. A whistleblower at CIA may be blowing the whistle on something that involves, you know, very, very, very secret national secrets.
Well, and that's the issue. And in fact, there was an effort to pass legislation to make sure that whistleblowers at CIA went to the IG first, so they could the IG could check out the sensitivities of the information being adverted to. But no, that's exactly right. And because it's so much of the work of the agency is on the dark side, in the clandestine side, in the clandestine field. Obviously, you have to have somebody who looks at it with a pair of eyes that knows what the rules are, but also knows how to make sure the mess is cleaned up or changes are made. Hopefully, within the rubric of the chain of command at the agency. But if not, with the help of the president or with the Congress or both.
Are there other challenges for the IG at that agency that maybe inspectors general at other agencies don't have to deal with?
Well, they may change it, Francis, but at the present time, the only person who has the responsibility for auditing the accounts, following the money, is the agency IG. That is, from the standpoint of oversight. The two congressional oversight committees the House committee and the Senate committee. Senate committee both have small staffs that look at how the money's spent, but they can't field the same full team of auditors that the CIA IG has always had. And that's important because what was the Congressional Accounting Office, now I guess the Congressional Accountability Office, had access to CIA when it was first created in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
But at a point in history, they were sort of shown the door because of the classified information. So it was up to the IG to, as I say, follow the money. And that's a bigger job. Other agencies have, as I say, the GAO and others looking over their shoulder, too.
How many people did you have on staff when you were the Inspector General?
Oh, my gosh, you're really testing my memory now.
That long ago.
No, it was 98. And the answer is about, maybe 100, 125. And, again, much of that personnel was in the auditing end because we tried to get to every major program every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that necessitated a pretty good-sized team.
That was actually going to be my next question, is how often with a staff of that size were you able to go back and review things that you'd already looked at on a kind of a catch-up basis?
Well, every 5 years in the case of the money side, and on the inspection side where you're trying to enforce best practices and look over the shoulder of managers to see, whether it could be done a different way or a less expensive way. We tried to also get to those offices every 5 years. Sometimes couldn't do it, but that was our goal.
All right. With Mr. Helgerson now leaving the agency, is it a help or a hindrance, do you think, for somebody who will be taking his place, taking his job, that there is new leadership in the form of Leon Panetta at the top of the agency, or does it not make any difference, really?
Well, in a perfect world, I don't suppose it should make any difference, but I think it is a presidential decision and a presidential appointment as to who will be the new IG, but it will obviously take place with close consultation with Mr. Panetta, as it should. And I think his question will be, does he want to get somebody in that job who has experience in the intelligence world, or, like him, is coming from outside and maybe the new broom? It's hard to say. We'll just have to wait and see which way he wants to go on that. I would think one of the advantages of getting somebody who's had experience in the community is they have a tendency to know where the bodies are buried and how the place works. So that's one argument you can make in favor of it.
And that's probably not a pun in the case of the CIA.
No, but maybe a bad joke.
I'm not above those.
No, we all are.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk some more about this and where this office might go in the wake of Mr. Helgerson leaving the Office of Inspector General at the Central Intelligence Agency with the person who preceded him in that job, Fred Hitz, former IG at the CIA and author of the book Why Spy? Espionage in the Age of Uncertainty. We'll continue our conversation just a moment from now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Fred Hitz, former Inspector General at the Central Intelligence Agency and author of Why Spy? Espionage in the Age of Uncertainty. And we're talking about the departure of John Helgerson at the Office of IG at CIA with many, many years of government service. And in the beginning of our interview, Fred, you talked about whistleblowers and made a reference to the way that maybe some potential changes in the way whistleblower complaints are handled at the agency. Give me kind of a background on that and where we stand today about the structure of how those complaints are handled.
Well, it's always been the case throughout government that a lot of information that the Congress obtains and probably needs because of its role as overseer of the way the money is spent in federal agencies, they've had volunteers from the federal government itself, for employees who go up and say, you know, you ought to know about this sort of, this kind of thing that's taking place in my office. Well, that's not such a good idea in the secret world of intelligence. If a person takes it upon themselves to just go up and say, I'm aware of this thing and it doesn't sound right to me and you as the oversight committee ought to look into it. So, several years ago, hearings were held and, it was decided that the CIA IG would be a good way station for that whistleblower to go to first to see if there was, in fact, an illegal process being undertaken or something off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And the IG, under a set period of time, couldn't hold on to this for weeks and weeks, would have to make the determination that ought to be looked into, and the Congress would be informed, and the head of the agency would be informed. In other words, it was a way to sort of preserve the whistleblower function, which the Congress wanted to do, but at the same time recognize that you weren't just talking about the price of iced tea. There was something involved here.
Right.
And, Francis, what that gets to is the key part that I didn't make earlier, and that is the Inspector General certainly has a management function in helping the director understand what's going on in the various program offices that exist in the agency. It's a big place, spends a lot of money. The director can't know everything every day about every place, and he depends on the IG just as IGs have been used in government since the beginning. But at the same time, the employees, especially in a clandestine organization, a secret organization, have to feel that they can go to the IG if some slip-up occurs and it's classified and it wouldn't normally come to the attention of anybody, maybe even above their own office level.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it wouldn't fall into the hands of an investigative reporter or in the hands of a congressional overseer because of the classified nature of the work they did. So the IG has that important function that if something's going wrong and an employee wants to come and talk about it, the IG is empowered, indeed directed, to look into it and make sure that you know, things are being done the way they should be done.
Mm-hmm. As I hear you talking about that balance that an inspector general has to walk, not just the CIA, but at any place that deals with classified information, I'm just struck by the tremendous balance, the really fine line that has to be walked there because of the nature of the material that you handle.
Yes, and you're not going to have sister agencies in other countries, liaison services, we call them, having any confidence in the United States if they feel that if they give some sensitive information to the Central Intelligence Agency, there are mechanisms whereby it could end up on a congressman's lap or in a reporter's hand.
Yeah.
Because discipline isn't being followed, and an IG can help with that process.
Before we let you go, Fred, and I'm really grateful for the amount of time you spent today. If you were going to be the person going in at the IG's office at CIA, knowing what you know, having been in that position before, at your first sit down with Director Panetta, what do you think the punch list of items would be that you want to bring up, whether it's things in your jurisdiction or resources that you need or whatever? How do you think that conversation would sound?
Well, this sounds kind of corny, but I think the first thing you'd say, and he'd probably laugh you right out of the room, Mr. Director, I'm here to help you. and that's something that's very hard to deal with. You know, this was a controversial provision, the creation of a statutory inspector general at CIA, because a director felt that, gosh, I can run this place. I don't need somebody looking over people's shoulders to do that. And also, I'm a little bit concerned that this IG has a reporting relationship to the Congress. And, I mean, is this something that's going to is this sort of a spy in my own nest?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first thing that has to be done is any candidate for that job has to establish rapport and a strong understanding with the director of Central Intelligence, because that individual is his primary overseer and boss. And he has to, the director has to have confidence that he can pick up the phone to the IG and say, hey, look, I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on in our organization in country X. I'm getting the following reports back in, back channel, and it just doesn't sound like things are right. Can you look into this on a hurry up basis and report to me and only to me until we sort it out?
Mm-hmm.
And so it works best if the director and the inspector general are on the same wavelength.
When you said the word Congress just a moment ago, a bell went off in my head, and it occurred to me that of all the directors of the CIA in the past, Director Panetta may be the best position to have a good relationship with Congress since he comes from there.
I think that's true. He not only comes from there, he understands the body. He understands the way it thinks. They trust him. He comes in with a lot of advantages in that regard, and that's something that the IG can help him with if it's hard information that he needs to get about something that's troubling to the Congress.